my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
You say black,
I say white.
You say bar,
I say bite.
You say shark,
I say him. And yours was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
You say Rose,
I say Royce.
You say God,
give me a choice.
You say Lord,
I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein or Superman.
All I wanna do is bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. Hey, welcome. October 6, 2016, Bike Sport Radio. This is Robert here, back in the new and improved Kill Radio. Yes, you heard that right, Kill Radio. God, I hope I'm recording. I know I'm live anyways. It's been a little while. I've been MIA for a bit. We had some issues here at Kill, and had a while getting someone to come and give us some decent internet. So, you know, we need to strive I think I'm getting some feedback here from speakers, but anyways. It was kind of a difficult time getting internet, decent internet, and there's so many monopolies, sadly, that we were kind of at their mercy. So we're back on, we're live, and I figure, hey, why not? First week of October, let's go ahead and start the new season of Bike Sport Radio. Why not, right? Spent all summer riding, most of you. I spent my summer recovering. Hey, it all works out. I had the shoulder surgery done in April, and on my road to recovery, so hoping I'm back on the bike, training, riding, racing. Cross season just started last weekend, so back into the swing of things. Inner bike happened a couple weeks ago, back September. Disappointing, I think, is the word I heard throughout most of inner bike, was the fact that it was low attendance, low foot traffic. But just kind of I don't know, man. It's kind of a weird show. Good to see old friends. Always love getting out there, catching up with people I haven't seen in a while. And, you know, the day-to-day hustle and bustle. Good to see my regular friends as well. It's always nice to run into you. You know, it's weird, though. It's always, you know, it's one of those train relationships is what I call it. Because you're cruising through the inner bike halls and you, like, go darting by somebody. Say, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? And then it's, I gotta go, gotta go. So, you know, inner bike can be really strange sometimes how that works out. But whatever the case, you know, it happens, it happens. So speaking of inner bike, yeah, this is pretty much going to be the inner bike show. Lots of new cool things came out. And, you know, with the internet now, everybody knows what's out. I mean, so that's pretty much why I go to the show. I mean, it's already been out. It's everybody's doing their own thing. They're sending stuff out. And so, you know, the big manufacturers, it's almost, you know, why go? Because they have their own special things and whatnot, right? But, you know, I still believe in the spirit of inner bike. I still believe that it's where the new and the unheard of can be found. You've got tinkerers and inventors and innovators in garages and whatnot all over the world. So, I mean, Eurobike, Interbike, and now we're going to have an East Coast Interbike type event. And, you know, I really don't want to see it go. I wish Interbike would get it together, lower the fees, and make it like it was. But I definitely see a huge change in where it's going. So I'm not sure. I don't know what to think right now. But, you know, with the absence of the big manufacturers at Interbike, it was kind of cool to go and spend time on the smaller manufacturers. Now, I'm not going to say that there were no large manufacturers there, but some of the bigger names were not there. And so we were able to spend more time on bikes we were probably not going to look at because of the lack of, I mean, face it. The more buzz you hear about a bike or the item, the more buzz you're going to go and check it out. Well, with the absence of some of the big buzz, you were able to go check out some of the smaller things that were going on. And that's what I always try to do anyways, is I try to avoid the big guys and I go and find little niche items that are hidden in the bowels of Interbike, out on the outer skirts is what I call it. And that's where you find all the innovation. You find all these bits and pieces and, hey, why didn't I think of that? And, hey, why didn't I think of that? So, you know, that's kind of where I spend my time. Anyway, so that's Interbike. Had a great time with the Turn Boys at the Turn Social. That was always a fun ride. Missed their pool party, but next year, hopefully, if I decide to attend. I don't know. We haven't decided yet. But hey, you know, you never, I don't know. I don't know what next year's going to bring. It's hard to say. You know, every year is different. And with everybody doing their own media and press camps and dealer camps and whatnot, who knows what the future of Interbike is. But I really hope something continues in its way, because I want a place for the little guys to be able to get out there and get their stuff out to the masses. And this is one of the best ways to do it. I mean, but then again, of course, hey, you got internet, right? Social media and everybody's web pages and you name it, you know, Snapchat, Twitter, whatever. So, well, I guess the future is in the future. We don't really know. So if I could see the future and I could see the winning lottery ticket numbers, hey, do you think I'd still be here? Anyways. All right. So yes, this is Robert, your host. And I've lost track of what number show we're on. I think we're at like 126 or something like that. No, I think even higher. I think 130. Somewhere around there. Let's take a look at some upcoming events, shall we? All right. We, as mentioned earlier, we are in the heart. We just started cyclocross season here in SoCal. We had our first event last weekend out in Whittier. Whittier Narrows Park. Fun event. If you had loose fillings, loose teeth, you don't have them anymore because you knocked them out. It was probably one of the lumpiest courses I have ever ridden. I am still fairly sore. It was not a good race to do when after shoulder surgery, but hey, you know, I survived. I got my one race in, and it was a good time. Event, you know, it was fun. It was definitely fun to see the family out there. So to continue on, we've actually got about a two-week break. Go figure, huh? But anyways, yeah, the next event coming up for the cross season here in Southern California is the Spooky Cross, and it appears that it's going to be held in Irvine. Casitas, Ojai. So contact SoCal Cross for that information. That's the weekend of the October 22nd and 23rd, two-day weekend. Then next event will be the 6th of November out in Riverside, the Anza Crossing, followed by the following weekend, November 12th, 13th, will be SoCal Cross up in San Luis Obispo. Then we come into the 19th and 20th of November. We get into the UCI CXLA weekend. Looks like Griffin Park is the tentative location, but check the websites because changes do happen. Followed by probably one of the best cross events we can put on, the Turkey Trot out in Glendale. If you haven't done Turkey Trot, you definitely got to get out there and have a good time with Turkey Trot. Make one of the most fun courses, challenging yet fun, flowy. It's a good time had by all. And I have to admit, Spooky Cross is also a really great event. And of course, at all these events, there are rental bikes, there are beginner races, first-timers. Now, when we say first-timers, we're talking people who like can barely ride the bike around the bike path. All you Cat 3, 4, 5 racers who've never raced cross, you're not a beginner. Stop entering that class and stop smoking the poor people who are trying to start. Editorial's done. Soapbox over. Seriously, come on, guys. I mean, how much ego can you really feed yourself? Anyways, all right, enough of that. Hey, it's my radio show. You want to come and do your own radio show? Anyways, All right. As for mountain and gravel, we've got a couple of mountain events still going. It seems the mountain bike season doesn't really truly end in the summertime. We've got a couple of really fun ones coming up. The Triple Crown's been going on here out with Omar and his crew out there have been putting on some races in the Inland Valley, San Gabriel Valley. So we've been doing San Dimas and LA. We've been doing Glendora Mountain Park, which they just had last weekend. Tinker Wars showed up, had a good time with that fun race. Then they had San Dimas week before. But coming up, we've got the 6 hour on the weekend of the 15th, I believe. We have a 6 hour race out at Bonelli Park. So you can take a look at that. Go to, and of course, you know, as I'm getting ready to talk about the event, my computer dies. But the Triple Crown of MT of, I'm trying to get you the website here. Come on, it's live radio. Of course, I'm going to have a issue. TripleCrownSeries.com is the website. You can get more information. They have two more races left. They have a Hammer Time series, which is three races. And then we have the, Turn and Burn, which is the 6 hour. And I have pre-run that 6 hour course. It's going to be a really fun course. It's not going to be too extremely brutal. But then again, this is October, and it could either be 35 degrees or it could be 105. So that's what's going to really make or break that race. Great tune-up race for the last of the Temeculas, and we'll talk about that in a second. But anyways, Turn and Burn, 6 hour, October 15th, Bonelli Park. And then November 6th, we got the Fat Tire Classic, Mount San Antonio College in Walnut. Great course, fun race. Super fast competition for winter. Kind of think people would slow down in the winter, but nope, just get faster. All right, and let's see, that's all up in the LA area. The one more event worth mentioning, too. We've got the, actually, hold on, gotta go back there. Mike Hector's gonna be putting on his 12 and 24 of Halloween. And I want to make sure I get all the specs down for you there. Going to be at the Dirt Club. And we have a 6 there too, it looks like. That's right. I forgot. We're going to have a 6, 12, and 24 out in Charlotte's Meadow Los Olivos, which is also known as the Dirt Club. Mike Heckler puts on a great event out there. Mike, I know I'm probably screwing up your name. It's just the way it is. If you don't screw up your name live on the radio, I'm not doing it right. Anyways, great course. It's the weekend, once again, of October 29th and into the 30th. Starts at 11 a.m. I've got to make it out there. I think it's just too many six-hour races for me in 1 month, but I definitely hope he continues with it. Hecker. I said I'm Heckler. Hecker. He is a heckler, though. I've seen him at the cross races. Anyways, yeah, you can find out more information on his event, raceplace.com events. Type in 24, 12, and 6 of Halloween, and you will get the registration information. You can also message him on Facebook. You can check out on the Bike Sport Radio Facebook page. I'll have stuff there as well. Alrighty. And let's see, what else is going on for you down south, San Diego people? We got the Quick and Dirty MTB Racing Dirty 30. Try to say that 3 times fast. That's December 10th, so if you're making plans, anything around Christmas time, it's a fun event. Reason why I'm talking about it so early, actually, also on the 30th, they have the Quick and Dirty 50, Filthy 50. One of the reasons why I'm mentioning these is they sell out really, really fast. They have a limited number of entries, so you want to get your information in there, get entered, go out, enjoy your 50 miles of pain and suffering. I mean, of fun and excitement. Actually, no, it's a really fun event. Make it a lot of fun for the kids, the spectators. So they hang around for a couple hours, you know, give them something to do. So great events. Check those out. And shall we move on? Alrighty, so we've been talking earlier about Interbike. And this year we had lots of great events going on with Interbike. I actually made it out to Dirt Demo, had a great time riding one of the Fujis out there. A bike I probably never would have even considered looking at until I rode it. One of the things it had on it was the Eagle drivetrain, which was, I am going to say flat out that it was an amazing drivetrain. It was so cool to be pedaling a gear higher and still have that bailout gear. The bike wasn't that bad either. The bike handled really well. Pretty responsive, full carbon fiber, Fuji frame. You know, and the sad thing is, you know, they have such a bad rap. In Spanish, we say it's Fuji. But, you know, the reality is it's just, it's a good time. So, anyways, the first bunch of clips we're going to hear come from Media Night, Media Preview Night. And what they do is we go in and we're, wait a minute, almost put the wrong clips on the air. There it is, Media Preview Day. And I had such a great time with the Media Preview Day because there were some really cool things there. And you're going to find out one of the very first things I discovered was probably one of the most silliest items of the night there. But it was really cool to throw a little support that way. So anyways, let's see what's going on here. See if I'm all ready to fire up here. And I think you'll like the start.
That's one of the weirdest ways I think I've ever figured out to start my interviews from Interbike, but I had to start it with this one. I'm here with Mike from a company called Horn Tones. Okay, you got to try to say that fast a few times, you'll mess it up. Anyway, Mike, he's got these really cool little horns with all these really cool sound effects. Some of them, the one you just heard, I heard the General Lee over there, and there's a bunch more. I'll let Mike tell us the rest of the story here.
Sure, yeah. Hi, my name's Mike Costco. I'm with Horn Tones. And we're here at the 2016 Interbike Show debuting our Bike Tones product, which is the world's first MP3 horn for your bike. We have seven different versions of it. We have seven different tones ranging from the Minions Beedo Beedo siren to the Good, Bad, and the Ugly theme song.
And tell us where they came from.
Oh, and I'm also here with my son, Koa Costco. He invented these horns back when he was 9 years old. I have an MP3 horn for your car that I came out with back in 2007, and that was sort of the brain seed for Koa to one day come home from school with this diagram with all the different colors of this bike horn that he wanted to come out with, along with, you know, it had a speaker and all these other things. And so 5 years later, we finally found the right components to put the product together, and here we are to debut it.
And it's definitely a fun item. I'm actually sitting here going, I want that one, I want this one, I want this one. I only have so many bikes to put it on. But so where, if I want to get these, where are we able to find them right now?
You can find them right now on our website, horntones.com, and they'll be coming soon to a bike shop near you.
And retail price on them right now?
Is $19.95.
Not bad for a fun horn.
That was such a great little horn. I had such a good time. Yeah, apparently the dad had already created a horn. He had it for an automobile. And then his son came home. he showed me. It's funny because he had like the whole picture. His son had come home one day and said, "Hey, Dad, I want to build a horn for my bike." And Dad's all like, "Okay." And it's funny because this is an 8-year-old boy who came up with these ideas, and he actually went through the whole process. Dad taught him that. So it was a great teaching moment for the child. He was there the first night. He got to experience media night, got to present his own horn and present it to the people as they were walking around. I think it was one of those items, though, that was really just underrepresented. And as the show went on, though, I did notice their kiosk, and they had a lot of people stopping in and stopping by and checking it out and taking a look at it. I tried to rig it up for the one I ended up getting was the, I got two of them. Got one for myself. It's the theme to Super Chicken, which I forgot, of course, to make a recording of. That was hilarious because I tried to put it on my bike for Cross Vegas, and I wanted to launch that as we were starting the race. So sadly, I didn't get to do it, but everybody thought that was just a great idea. I walk around with the horn during the pits and just play it, so it was a good time. My son got the one for the Minions. Weedo, weedo, weedo. And it's funny because the other day he falls down and I grabbed his horn as he's doing the crying. And I go, wait, here comes the Minion ambulance. So great time. You know, remember, cycling is all about having fun, especially cross in the season. It's just have a good time with it and enjoy it. And this is definitely one of those fun things. Take a look at them online, and I'll have pictures up on the website, on the Facebook page. So you can take a look there and see what the horn looks like. It's really cool, really well-designed, well-thought-out item. And I mean, cheap fun, man. Anyways, you own a shop, got kids. It's a great way to keep them motivated to want to ride. Let's hear up our next interview from Media Night. You know, I hate dead air, right? dead air. You know how it goes. Come on, I'm rusty. I haven't done this in a while.
All right, stop number two, 2016, Innerbike. And I am with a really cool product here called Aftershocks. And it's not what you think it is. I thought it was a suspension part. Turns out it's a really cool earphone system?
Yeah, it's an earphone. It's a bone conduction headphone. So rather than a traditional headphone that's going to sit inside your ear and it's a speaker, this is a bone conduction headphone, so it uses a transducer to create mini vibrations that will travel through your cheekbones to your inner ear, bypassing your eardrum completely, leaving them open so you can hear your surroundings. So it keeps you safer, and it's a much more comfortable way to listen to music.
Yeah, and I just put a pair on right now, and at first I was like, what's all that vibration shaking sound? And then once I put them on, it was like, oh, there's music. Oh, wait, this is really cool. So definitely really, really cool product, especially in LA and California, since we can't do the earbuds in the ear anymore. Another way to get music. Where can we get more info on these? Are these out in production now? What's the deal?
Yep, we are nationally in all Brookstone stores. You can also find us online at aftershocks.com, of course on amazon.com. And we're here at Innerbike trying to introduce them to the biking retailers so that you can go to your local biking store and have a chance to get the Aftershocks as well.
So everybody go ask your local shop to look into these Aftershocks. Let's get them out. It's a great product. Looks good. Looks durable. We're going to put it through its paces for you and let you know how it works out. Thanks a lot, Bill, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Great. Thanks.
All right.
Ha ha. Okay, so Aftershocks. Can I just tell you, I was hesitant and very skeptical about this product. As you know, I found the O2's helmet speakers and really, really love those on my helmets because there's nothing around my head, okay? Sadly, though, I can't use those when I run. But I hate not being able to hear, especially if you trail run. Rattlesnakes are out, dogs loose, things like that. You need to be able to hear your surroundings. But as with any earbud, I have those ears where earbuds don't stay in. So I said, you know, these things look rad. I think I'm going to try. I was really like, I got to try a pair of those. I really want to try them and see how they hold up. Okay. They are such an different experience from anything else you've used. How would you like to run and not have that sweaty, gooky feeling you hear when headphones and earbuds are in your ear, that really loud popping sound? It's gone. How would you like to have that gone and yet still hear every bit of music crisp and clear? This is your product right now. The Aftershocks are really cool, as you said, bone conduction headphone. They work amazingly well. They stay in place. And even if they do shift a little bit, they hook in and they just, you still get the sound being transferred through. And they're light. You don't feel them on your head after a few minutes. And when you get sweaty, you don't have that wet, gushy sound that you get when earbuds are in your ear. The other great thing about these is legally, you can wear them because they are not in your ear. No more silly tickets through Burbank or anybody else who tends to get popped for earbuds. They work. If you're a runner, hiker, great products, super reliable so far. I've been using them pretty religiously since Interbike, really trying to subject them to whatever abuse I can physically subject them to, and everything's good. One question I had for him, though, and he was honest about it: how do these fit under a helmet, or do they hit certain helmets and things like that? What has been their experience with it? One of the things is, from the few people who have tested them with helmets, in most cases they do clear your helmet. However, there are instances where your helmet does interfere with them. I'm going to tell you from my personal experience right now. I've got various brands of helmet, and currently there are two helmets that they do interfere with, but the interference is fairly minimal. And what it does during that interference is it tilts the speaker just slightly more away from the bone that conducts the music. So it just sounds a little more subdued, not as loud. You still get the crispness, but you kind of notice it a little more. As for running, jogging, hiking, just general walking around, they're as comfortable as can be. I've had a little issue when it comes to sunglasses. Kind of how to fit them in, or either over or under sunglasses. For my situation, I've been putting my sunglasses under sunglasses on first, and then I slide these over, and they actually kind of hold my sunglasses in place. So check them out. They're on the Facebook page, Aftershocks. Amazing little item. Charge is working pretty good right now. I've gotten, so far, I've pushed it to about 4.5-5 hours of riding. Battery still charged. I'm going to see what the max is. We're going to try to go for a 6 or 7 and see if it lasts the entire time. And once again, battery life's going to vary depending on how loud you're cranking them. So great item. And I did have another concern of wind noise. How does wind noise affect them? As you guys know, I am a rep for Cat Ears. I'm an ambassador for Cat Ears. So I do use Cat Ears pretty religiously on the road bike, especially on windy days. I also use all their helmet warmer, their ear warmers and things like that. A Cat Ear with this item be probably the best way to get the most pristine sound out of them. You do get a little bit of wind noise, but just as normal wind noise from your helmet. As we know, the Cat Ears dampens a lot of that wind noise. Therefore, you combine these two and it's really great. I've tried it both ways. You can definitely tell the difference. Same thing with my O2 helmet speakers as well. Same deal. But Aftershocks, we're talking Aftershocks today. But like I said, Different, totally different area. These guys are standalone Bluetooth. They do have a wired version coming out as well for those who want to have wires. Some people guess still want to do it. And you can find them over at Aftershocks. So take a look at them, and I will put up the links on the Facebook page. All right, so let's take a look here. So yeah, definitely a really cool item, by far. All right, let's see here. Now, its problem is I forgot who was up next, but let's do it.
Stack, and this is the Stack Zero. So it's a zero contact, zero noise bike trainer. So as you, you're actually just on stop pedaling and the wheels stop, right? So we're actually generating resistance throughout without any contact. And this is a this is our version with the power meter. And so you see he's doing 100-ish watts.
Oh, he's soaking wet. He's been pedaling a while.
He's been doing intervals. So if he, I keep asking him to crank it up. So then he gets up to 800 watts. And still, the only thing that you're ever going to hear is the bicycle and maybe his breathing and sweating.
All right, I gotta. That just didn't sound right. This is the Stack bicycle trainer. So for some reason, it looks like the front of it got cut off. But I'm gonna go ahead and replay that because it just for some reason there was a delay, a lag, when it went to play onto the computer for some reason. So let's go ahead and try that again. I don't know why it did what it did. But anyways, Stack bicycle trainer. Let's take a listen and. Look for the pictures on Facebook.
Stack, and this is the Stack Zero. So it's a zero contact, zero noise bike trainer. So as you, you're actually just on stop pedaling and the wheels stop, right? So we're actually generating resistance throughout without any contact. And this is our version with the power meter. And so you see he's doing 100-ish watts.
Yeah, he's soaking wet. Right. He's been pedaling a while.
He's been doing intervals, so I keep asking him to crank it up, so then he gets up to 800 watts, and still, the only thing that you're ever going to hear is the bicycle and maybe his breathing and sweating. That's about the only thing you're going to hear.
And just so you know, he's spinning right now. That's all you hear is nothing but chain. That's amazing.
So that was up to, so when you were just recording that, he was up to 350 watts. So this is our innovation. So it's you know, it's nice for you to use if you're, I don't know where you're out of.
We're out of LA and, you know, everybody's in apartments or
yeah,
wherever.
Well, exactly. So that was the idea. So if you use any sort of fluid trainers or any of those other trainers, they get extremely noisy. And so this is our solution to that. It has some additional nice features that we're able to do. Since it's such a simple design, there's no moving parts to create the resistance. It folds perfectly flat. So if you check that out.
Yeah, I'll be putting pictures up. So as this is going, you'll be able to see them online. But that trainer is flat. I could have used that today.
Yeah, so we packed three of these into a carry-on to fly it out here. And so it's like 13 pounds, folds flat.
And a nice thing, too, it looks like it doesn't generate any heat either.
No, so the only thing that it doesn't generate any heat around you, because the way that it's generating the resistance, the tire does get a little bit warm, so that, but it gets, obviously, it's
cooled
spinning
off,
pretty quick.
Yeah.
So it's, if you were to stop, Art, can you stop that one for a second? So if you feel it, It's warm to the touch, but it's not going to burn you.
Okay.
So it's, and it doesn't, we've had this thing cranking at 1,000 watts to test whether it's going to damage rims or pop
or
tires.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get that hot.
Okay.
Like it just gets warm.
Okay.
But not any warmer than if you're blazing downhill, you know.
On the brakes. Okay.
So these things are designed to take heat, right? And they're designed to dissipate heat. So it spins pretty fast, and so it doesn't, you know, there's no issues there.
And it's silent. You could use knobby tires on it. You could use
so
whatever.
That's a nice feature. So the way that the caliper design is, you basically can adjust your resistance depending on how close you put these things to your wheel. If you get them really close, you can, like I said, we generated over 1,000 watts. But it's also nice because it gets wide enough that you can accommodate a mountain bike tire if you wanted to train on your mountain bike, which is not something that we've really seen.
Right, not too many
too
people
many
do.
Them.
Yeah,
it's
well, like race warm-ups, basically,
right.
Is what I'm looking at.
Yeah, exactly. But this can accommodate the different wheels.
Now, does this actually touch the wheel, or does it just get close enough?
Just gets close.
Okay.
So all you need is the, so these are.
So you don't even have to have a true wheel, or
no,
real true.
Well,
that, I can notice that one's got a little bend in it.
It does. And, but the beauty of this is that that's his race tire. Okay. So normally you're not going to use your race tire on because you're going to wear it out, right?
Right.
I mean, you get all the wear on this. So you can the only thing he needs to do to go ride in his race is unhook that thing and he's off.
Awesome.
So you can use it for race warm up, whatever you want, on your race tires. We're also able to do this. I'm not sure if I mentioned the price already, but we're able to do this relatively cheaply since there's no moving parts. We're a Canadian company. Our dollar is not as strong as...
We like Canadian money.
That's right. So with the power meter, it's $380.
Wow.
Which is considerably lower than what you can find other...
Yeah. And does that sync with the Garmin, your phone?
Yeah, so it's... Unfortunately, our battery died. It's Ant Plus and Bluetooth.
Okay.
So we had it hooked up where it was connected to Zwift.
Right.
Hooked up to Strava right here.
Okay.
You can actually... we have our own app that allows you to name the different trainers. So if you are going to a studio that's going to have more than one of these things, you can identify your own individual and it'll communicate specifically with your device.
Awesome.
And
are they in production now?
Yeah, so we ran a successful Kickstarter to see if there was interest over the summer. We got quite a good response, and now our first batch is going out basically as soon as we leave Vegas.
Awesome.
We're starting to. It's website only sales right now.
Okay.
We're working to next fall be in retail. But as of right now, if you go to stackzero.com, you can order it directly.
And that's STAC0.
Yep.
ZERO.com, and you can order here. Really cool stand. Really good trainer. Perfect for traveling and going to the races. Cross season is here, guys. We need to warm up. Perfect tool for that. Thanks a lot, Sean, for the interview.
It's a pleasure. Thanks so much. Take care.
Okay, so, that was one amazing trainer. The wheel does not touch. It's like, I think monorail. That's what I kind of thought about when I first saw it. I think the way a monorail slides through the trails, magnetic resistance, that's what it was doing as it was going through these pads, these giant, like giant brake pads, but they weren't touching the wheel, yet they were creating resistance. It's just amazing. I mean, damn, there's some smart people out there. Anyways, so yeah, that was really cool. That's the Stack Zero. Take a look at it. It's on the Facebook page. Got a picture up right now. And you can go on. I got the link to their Kickstarter, their info as well, because they did do a Kickstarter. They got all the money raised right away. I mean, and when I mean this trainer was flat, I'm not kidding. There's a picture you will see. This thing is flat. There's nothing sticking out of it. No mag resistance unit. Nada. Not a thing. So it was amazing. It was just an amazing, 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 amazing. I'm going to say that word a lot. It was a lot of really cool things I found. And these, you know, these are just young guys, you know, cruising around. They made it into the media night. They did have a small booth. It's funny what Interbike does, though, is they put all the small booth people, like, out in the middle of nowhere. So it's kind of funny how you gotta kind of go look. They're always on the outskirts. So you always got to go kind of look for them on the outskirts. But anyway, so. All right. Who is up next? Who's my lucky victim?
All right. I'm here with Enyo here at 2016 Interbike in the Cheater Media preview here. We've had a blast here with some cool stuff. The horn over there. But I think this one here is kind of a game changer. It's called Pro Shift. And I'm here with Enyo.
Mastracci.
There we go. And he's gonna give me one. No, he's not. He's not. But he's gonna show us and talk to us about the Pro Shift. Go ahead. It's all yours.
Pro Shift is an automatic shifting system for any of the four available electronic shifting systems. Right now, we're compatible with SRAM ETAP. We're compatible with the Shimano Di2, and we're compatible with Campagnolo. Just recently, FSA announced their own electronic group set, and we are in initial talks with them to have ProShift compatible with their system. So what does ProShift do? So imagine a bike. A bike having speed sensor, cadence sensor, power meter, and you wear a heart rate monitor. All that information comes into ProShift. We calculate, based on what we know about you, about the bike, we calculate the best gear for you at that time. we automatically shift you into that gear. So as you now increase power, as you increase speed, as you increase your cadence, we then calculate the next gear. And every fraction of a second, we can make a decision as to what the best gear is for you. And we'll put you there.
Okay, so now we're getting into some George Orwell Big Brother stuff here.
Not really. Because no. If you think about it, 20 years ago, a lot of cars didn't have cruise control. Right now, you cannot buy a car without cruise control. Right?
And that's, in essence, what this kind of is.
And that's where we are. And it's cruise control for your body. Because what we learned is, if we can keep you at the same power load for a long, especially for endurance racers,
right.
We can keep you at the same power load, you do fantastic. Because you don't get tired as fast. But if you start riding up and down, you go down to 65 RPM, up to 110 RPM or something like that, you get exhausted in no time.
Yeah, that's my issue exactly. My 6-hour and 12-hour stuff, I'm just, you know,
because
doing
you get
that.
Tired. You get tired of shifting. You get tired of drinking. You get tired of eating. You get tired of everything, right?
You get tired.
You get tired. So if you can take the simple task of keeping you in the right gear, we succeed by doing that. And you succeed, hopefully, by racing better.
Exactly. Every advantage we can get nowadays, right? Might as well use all these electronics to our benefit.
And this is it. Now, that's the racing side. You can also use it for training. Because
awesome.
Embedded in here is that, for example, let's suppose the coach says, I want you to go at 130 beats per minute. Well, if you have a coach. He tells you, I want you to run at 130 beats per minute. And I want you to do that for an hour. You can dial in 130 beats per minute. And it'll change gears to keep you there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or you want to do 160.
Now, let me ask you now. It'll do all the stuff that's programmed in based on our heart rate. What if we want to override it?
Anytime.
Okay. So we can actually go manually shift or hit the button?
Nothing on your bike changes in terms of manually shifting.
Okay.
This simply, what you have to imagine, it sits on top. Okay? You touch the brake, and it goes off cruise control.
Okay.
You push a button, it goes off automatic control.
Okay.
So anytime, you always can go back to how the car or how the bike was running or how you were riding.
So I could go back and just disable it
anytime.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was one of the key things we did when we first designed the unit. We wanted to be sure that at any time, if you didn't like what was going on, you could put it on manual and you could have control.
Awesome. So are these out yet?
Yes.
And how much? What's the magic number?
Magic number is $799. But if you go on our website, www.proshiftracing.com, you can buy one for $799. And then you put the launch code, the discount code launch, and you can get a $200 discount.
You know that's going on Facebook tonight, right?
I hope so. I hope people do it. Yeah, absolutely. It'll be fun.
This one will be awesome. This is a great product. I'm going to go play with one of these tomorrow, a demo or on the demo track. Do you have one?
We did today, but the demo's done. So tomorrow we'd be on the indoor booth.
I'll check out the indoor booth. We'll play with one.
You can, and we'll have it, and you can play with it.
Right,
everyone that's done it has enjoyed it. So hope you will.
All right. So that's it. Pro Shift. It's now cruise control for your bike, everybody. Let's let you know what I think of it when I get to play with it tomorrow. Thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Aha, ProShift. So, yeah, I'm not kidding when I mean that's a little bit of wow. A bike that actually thinks. basically, come on, think about it. Your cell phone can track what you're watching and doing and give you ads. I mean, it's just a matter of time, right? Now your bicycle is going to know, hey, this is so you're going to pedal and shift, and I think you need to shift now, and it's going to do it for you. When you think about it, this is just it plugs into your bike. It's just another tool. It's like having your computer there, and you just it just plugs in and you don't have to do anything. You don't ever have to hit a shift lever unless you absolutely want to. I don't know, man. That would be so cool. It's just programmed to keep you. I think at this point, though, I think you become just a hamster, right? You're just spinning the wheel, and everything else does it for you. So I could definitely see it helping, especially with training, especially in a race situation. I mean, just to try to keep you going, you know, especially you get 6 or 12 hours into an event, man, you're blowing bubbles at that time, especially if you've been going hard. So yeah, I mean, you know, having to not worry about something, You know, but then you got the naysayers. Hey, you know, I'm a purist. I don't need all the electronics. I don't even ride with a computer. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? Hey, so what? There's two kinds of people. Technology is our friend. You have to embrace it. We don't like it, but it kind of does make life a little easier sometimes. And if, you know, you can save a couple watts here and there, save some energy, one less movement you have to do. I mean, why not, right? It makes sense. So they're really, really, like, you can tell the love behind the product and the excitement and just a very exuberant individual. And he really loved it. And you can just tell, I mean, and after we stopped the interview, I mean, he was still going on and on about all the great benefits. And then, you know, a couple of other things popped up. It's like, hey, you know, they're still trying to develop this programs even more to have more in there that you can maybe auto select. So, you know, there's a lot of development, and I only see this item getting better as the years progress. It's already a well-functioning, well-working item, and I think they're just going to refine it and make it even better. $700 is pretty steep, I got to admit. It's a good chunk of change for me, but then again, think about what a good power meter would cost you. I mean, you're looking at $1,000 for power meters. So the launch code is on... I put it up there on Facebook page. The word is launch. That's the discount code. You get $200 off the price. It's a good deal. Take a look at it. Tell them you heard it at Bike Sport Radio. And I did get to play with it. It's definitely an amazing tool. I mean, not having to shift. It's weird, though, because it's kind of scary that it senses that, okay, it's time for you to shift. You know, it's time that it's going to do it for you, where... right as you're probably going for the lever, it's already done it. And it's like, whoa, that was kind of weird. But yeah, it was a pretty amazing piece of technology for sure. So, like I said, you know, it's, there's a lot of smart people out there for sure. Anyways, here's something else that we ran into while I was there that was kind of cool. Take a listen.
All right, I'm here at the media preview, and I'm here with a very familiar name from the motorcycle industry now in the bike world, Senna, and I'm here with Leah. She's going to talk a little bit about some of the products they got for the cyclists now.
Sure. So basically what we have, we're coming out with our own version of our smart cycling helmet. So we're using, as you're familiar with from the motorcycle world, our Bluetooth technology is integrated into our helmets. So it's built in into the helmet. We have our speakers, we have a mic, and then we have controls on each side. So on the left side, you're going to have your Bluetooth controls and communication. You know, pair your smartphone, control the music, answer calls, make calls, hook up to your GPS, hear directions. You know, if you have fitness apps or things like that, pair to it and hear, you know, the voice prompts.
Hear the prompts, the cue, you're going too slow, speed up.
Exactly, exactly. And then on the other side, we're going to have the camera controls because it's also integrated with a QHD action camera.
Yes, you heard that right. There's a camera built in to the helmet.
And so with our camera buttons, it also includes Wi-Fi. So through that, you're going to be able, I know, there's a lot of features. But so as you can see right here, like...
So yeah, right now what I'm looking at is it's synced up to our phone, and you can actually live preview if you've used the GoPro app. It does a very similar thing. You can actually see what you're looking at, and you can aim appropriately. So if you're checking out the guy or the girl and you don't want your significant other to know, you can kind of see that you're in that, you're staring a little too much, right? So now, magic question, what's the weight? Are they made yet? What's it going to cost us? Do we have to sell our firstborn, secondborn, trade in the wife, the husband, what?
I mean, I hope not, but we're looking at the next 3 to 4 months, so we don't have the weight finalized, but I mean, as you can tell, you know, it is lightweight, but there is a lot of technology packed in there, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of stuff in it, and you think it would be a really heavy helmet, but it's really... comparable. It's actually, and it's got some pretty good construction in it, enough ventilation holes in there, helmet retention strap, and it's got a pretty unique style. the camera just I didn't even notice the camera when I first walked up. I was like, oh, dude, there's a camera there. And it's all in one spot. So where can we see more and get more info on this helmet and maybe get our pre-orders in?
Yeah, so you can go to Scena.com, S-C-N-A.com. You know, and as far as the price point, you know, we're looking at, you're familiar with our motorcycle stuff. So we have our 10C, which is, you know, our action camera and Bluetooth, similar idea in one. And that's retail at $349. So the helmet is retail at $349. So on top of all that, you're getting a helmet too.
So yeah, fair enough. I mean, you're going to spend that on a camera alone.
Exactly.
This here is giving you the camera, the intercom, the speakers. And is it an intercom, helmet to helmet?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So motorcycle technology. You can talk to your buddies up to how many feet?
This is going to be 900 meters. So between 900 meters, you have four connections. We're also actually working on an app that's going to come out, I'm going to assume, around the release of the helmet that uses cellular data for intercom. So just another option for people if you're, you know, sometimes you're riding with three people, Bluetooth's great, or if you're going with big groups over a long distance, you know what I mean? You can use the cellular data. So there's no limitation to how many connections you have or how far you can be apart.
This is awesome. Great. I'm happy how you guys were here today. I could actually physically see this. You know, you get the press little teases, but now they actually see it. It's awesome. So thank you so much for the time, Leah. And looking forward to hearing, seeing, feeling, playing with it more.
Yeah, thank you. Same here.
Oh, that was such a cool helmet. Pictures are up if you want to take a look at what it looked like. Yeah, it was just, you know, it had a lot of really, it had almost too much in it. I was kind of like, which buttons? But you know what? It's the one thing I really think that mountain biking's missing is that I think communication amongst riders is missing, especially when you're doing group rides and things like that. You know, I've been on many of them and it just, there's always an issue when it comes to, you know, oh, did I leave so-and-so behind? And, oh, my gosh, where did they fall or whatever? Trying to communicate from the leader to the sweeper to the middle and things like that. It's kind of a pain. I mean, yeah, you can use your radios, your little FRS radios and whatnot, but they have a limited range as well. And then you got to stop and unclick it and push the button unless you're using a speaker and stuff in your ear. But it's, for the most part, I just... You know, this thing would be really trick. I did see another motorcycle or a bicycle intercom system out there as well that I thought was another really cool thing to have. So if you tend to lead a lot of groups, this is something to look into. I've been a big advocate for camera use on bikes, and this is another way for you to get that same thing. I could definitely see commuters and trail ride organizers using this helmet because you've got the intercom capabilities, you've got the camera for proof, basically safety, reliability, you know, just documentation. And then you've got all the abilities of communications. So not only the intercom rider to rider, but cellular data and things like that. And you got a helmet. So, you know, hey, why not, right? Anyway, so this is the pre-production models. I did see them. They look really good. I know they're going to fine-tune a lot of it. I know Senna. I ride a motorcycle. I use their intercom systems. No one knows I'm on a motorcycle when I'm using these systems because they are that clear. They quiet the wind, the noise. It's just amazing. No one knows. It's so cool when you tell them, oh, yeah, you know, let me call you back later because I'm on a motorcycle right now. And they're like, you're on a motorcycle? I know. I shouldn't be answering it. I have auto answer feature. So, you know, I don't miss a call. Hey, it's what you do when you live in LA and you do all these different jobs, right? So, but yeah, Senna is definitely the leader in technology for Bluetooth communications via motorcycle helmets, you know, UTV, motorcycle, dirt sports, things like that. And definitely they integrated into the helmet. You don't have things protruding. It's awesome. So take a look at that. Put the information up. Send a smart helmet, Scena.com. You can get the information there. And that was that. So my last interview from Media Night. Make sure that's it. Yep. The last media was actually quite fun. Great group of guys and great product. So take a listen for that and take a look at the pictures online.
All right, here I am with Dominic from Bright Spark, and they've got a really cool solution to the commuter issue we have with being seen and safety and having proper lighting and the whole nine yards, and I'll let Dom fill you in a little bit on what they've come up with.
Okay, thanks, Robert. So our Bright Spark product was born of two things. Firstly, that in London, where we're from in the United Kingdom, we're having a real major problem between cyclists and other road users. We needed to find a way of using technology in a product that's going to bring cyclists and road users into a more kind of harmonious existence. There's another Dominic in Bright Spark, Dominic Walters. He's the founder of the Bright Spark product. And actually, he started a Facebook campaign 2 years ago and you'll see in some of our literature, we're referencing the F word. Dominic was one of those cyclists one of those motorists who had become more increasingly disconnected with cyclists and having some pretty bad experiences. And his Facebook group kind of targeted cyclists, and he really didn't make many friends with this particular campaign.
That's really strange that you're anti-cycling, but yet you come out with a really cool device to bring it together.
Well, honestly, Dom's point here was he had what we're kind of creating as our eureka moment. He decided, literally one night over dinner, that he was going to be the solution and no longer the problem. So here we have a kind of disaffected motorist who has scratches down the side of his car, who is becoming more kind of frustrated by cyclists, starting to use the roads and completely ignoring normal kind of highway code. And so actually what this product here is, as well as being a device that significantly improves cyclist visibility on the road, it's using the common language of all road users, trucks, motorcycles, cars, buses, all who use turn signals. And so this is a kind of lightweight entry product that's going to give cyclists that same responsibility.
And what it basically is it's basically a twist-on grip, very similar to a mountain bike grip that has the locks. It locks onto your grip. And it's got a built-in headlight and a tail light with a turn signal that can be seen from behind, the headlight from the front, and it's all thumb operated on the grip. So you push a little button, the turn signal turns on, the tail light turns on, correct, if I remember correctly. And then you've got the different levels of a headlight. You got three strengths plus a strobe for a headlight. And what's different about this is that they're on the outside edges of the bike. So instead of just having one central light on the middle of the bike, you now have two lights on the bike on the outside ends, plus you have a way to communicate with motorists via the turn signals, via the tail light. And it's got a couple of other features in there. It's got the laser that shoots out onto the floor to kind of give a cue for your space distances. In California, we have the 3-foot law, so that helps identify that, especially in low light situations. So great product. I love this design. It, with a twist of a grip, you just twist the lock, it unlocks from the bar, and you can take them in and charge them. But I think if you commute, an hour each way, 5 days a week, you charge them once a week, maybe at the most. So great product. Take a look at it. Where can we get more information on this?
So we have a website. It's brightsparkglobal.com, where you'll find all of our kind of features of the product. We're evolving that site. We'll have an e-commerce site up and running by the end of the year. So commuter cyclists, you can go and buy direct from our site. But of course, we'll be talking to distributors across the United States in the coming weeks, and we're hoping to see it in the stores. But yeah, go to brightsparkglobal.com. All the information's there for you.
And currently, right now, you will ship to us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're looking to get these units into the United States as quickly as possible. We're launching here at Interbike. Nobody's seen this product before today. So this is our kind of major global launch, and we're really proud to be doing it in Las Vegas.
Awesome. So take a look on the Facebook page, Bike Sport Radio Facebook page. I have pictures of them up there, and you can also go to Bright Spark Global for pictures of them there as well. And congratulations on a great idea.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, that was just such a cool item. I loved it. You know, I kept getting the emails before the show about the F word, and I was like, oh, some punkish thing. They're going to come up with something, blah, 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 blah. And then when I ran into it, I'm all like, you guys don't look like the type of F word type of people. So what was really funny, you know, Interbike is not the quietest place in the world to get an interview, as you could hear on that one. There is just conversations going on everywhere, and it's so funny. It's really hard to get a quiet interview. So that's Interbike. I'm giving you what Interbike is. It's people talking. It's people just selling their items and why is mine better than yours? And why it just, and it's people just catching up and talking stories, and it's a great time. So, that's going to be the end of my Interbike, interviews for the day. And, I will next week, we're going to continue with, that was the media preview. Now I'm going to tell you right now, I got 3 days of Interbike, 3 days of interviews. And let me tell you, I just lost track of time when you're there. I mean, I got there at first light when they opened in the morning, and all of a sudden it's 6 o'clock. It's time to go home, and people are like, "Oh shoot, I didn't even have lunch," you know. So it was a very interesting time. You really get entrapped in the quest of Interbike when you're there. So it's a really cool thing. All right, so going to be ending the show soon, but I would definitely wanted to touch upon a couple of items here that I've talked about in the past, or supposed to talk about in the past. If you've been following me on Facebook, Cross Season's here. We're always looking for new products for Cross. And one of the things, one of your keys to successful cross racing is, you guessed it, the dismounts. And you can't dismount without proper foot to pedal connections. And more importantly, a foot pedal connection that is going to guarantee release. It's nothing. There's nothing quite as scary as heading straight into 16-inch barriers or stairs or sand or whatever, locked into your pedals, and you can't release and step on the ground. So any cross racer will tell you there's always those tried and true that just believe that so-and-so's got this pedal is the best and so-and-so's pedal is the best. There, you can have this debate day in and day out. And you know what? I'm not going to tell you who's the best, but I know who I'm using this year. And it's definitely a huge improvement from what I used last year. So this year I was fortunate enough to acquire myself some of the new Expedo CXR pedals. Now, these pedals have been designed, make sure I say right, CXR, yeah. They have been designed exclusively for cyclocross. So when you think about it, you're like, well, what is making them so much different than blah, 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 blah? Well, here's what it is, okay? Anytime you deal with any type of mechanical spring-operated pedal, what slows down the release mechanisms is the fact that they pack up. Anytime you start packing the spring with garbage, it's going to increase the amount of effort for you to release that spring. Now, you've only got so much energy you can transfer to your foot, okay? So to help alleviate the packing issue acquired in most spring-operated pedals, what Expedo has done is made their plate, the front latching plate where the cleat latches in, is actually elevated off of the body of the pedal. And what that does is it creates an exit. So as you shove your foot in and it's all gunked up with sand, grass, mud, or whatever you have, what it does is it allows an escape for that once you hit it into the notch, and it forces whatever trash is under there, it actually has a place to fall out and not embed itself in the spring. Okay, so that little trick right there has made engagement and disengagement of this pedal amazing. It has definitely makes getting in and out of them easier. You can add more tension to your spring and still have the ease of getting out. Awesome, awesome pedal, has been working so well for me. I've always been scared of mechanical operated pedals. I've had bad experiences with spring operated pedals, and I was really sworn on never coming back to them. Well, since I've discovered this design with the Expedo pedals, I have just fallen in love with them again, because I've had an issue with premature release. And no, not that kind of premature release. With my previous pedals, I've been coming out of the pedals way too soon, when I least expected to come out of them. And you know, part of that is, I guess I'm getting stronger, or I just dumb luck. But whatever the case, it was happening a little too much. I had too much movement in the shoe. This guy here locks you in. There's not a lot of forward and aft movement, just enough to kind of help knock things out. Good float in the pedal, reliable design, and so far so good. I know many of these riders who are doing like the Stagecoach 500 and whatnot, they started using the Expedo pedals, their full line, and they're having great results with the pedal. So take a look at the Expedo pedals. If you go ahead and check out the Facebook page, I put a link up to one of the reviews of the CXR Pro clipless pedals. My review basically is this: check them out. Price is right. Very well functioning pedal. I use them at Cross Vegas. I've used them on some gravel rides. I've used them out in the Royal Seiko out in Pasadena. And you all know that that sand and grit and that water that you cross in there is a pedal killer. It is guaranteed to get you stuck. Every time using these pedals through that grit, I was able to get in and out of those pedals with no problem. So I definitely highly recommend you take a look at the Expedo CXR pedals, specifically designed for cyclocross. But guess what? I don't see a problem with using them for anything else. I've used them on my XC bike as well, doing cross country with them. Great. I love the fact that they're going to release when I need them to release, and they do their job. So far, very reliable, smooth spinning, lightweight, great body on them. It's just big enough to have something to stand on, small enough to be out of the way. So take a look at them online. You can find out lots of information on them. I'll put up a good old picture of my beat up pedals. Actually, if you take any of the pictures, if you go onto my personal Facebook page, Robert Sandoval, you'll find pictures of the pedals in use at all the cross races on the cross bike, and we'll definitely do a long-term follow-up. Now, I've had them for a while here. I've had them for a couple months, definitely been using them during my recovery and whatnot, so I've been putting some decent miles on them. We're going to see what the long-term brings. We'll revisit them right around December towards the end of cross season and see how the pedals are holding up, but I definitely don't see any problems. The cleat, nice thing about these pedals, they are Shimano. They're a Shimano-ish compatible. So, it, you know, if you do have a set of cleats, well, not. I actually had someone clip in with Shimano cleats. They were able to clip in, but their cleat system actually works better. Their actual cleat that's designed, it's a good size cleat. It's not as small, so it actually gives you a little more contact area, less hot spot issues, things like that. So I'm really looking forward. I'm actually going to use these in a 6-hour race coming up, and I'll give you definitely more feedback as that occurs. So with that, take a look at Expedo.com. Next week, we're going to continue with our inner bike shows. Woo, listen to that Ducati go by. All right. And listen to the horn as they flip them off. It's good old LA. You guys all be safe out there. I am about to end this here. And you guys have a great time with going to have some nice warm weather this weekend. Get out there, do some rides. I know there's some gravel rides up here in the LA area. Got some mountain bike rides as well. So take a look. And as always, if you have an event coming up, you have race results coming up or anything, go ahead and send them out to message me at Bike Sport Radio or send them to me on my Facebook page, Robert Sandoval. Just look me up. If I don't know you, you won't get added. No selling cheap Oakleys on my site. You'll get banned. Anyways, that is all. So I am out of this place. You guys enjoy your evening. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.